Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
Is Nick and Sam taking you to jungle lands? Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week we're always there. Touchdowns, tackles, all the plays. Bengals roaring every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Nick and Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Welcome in to the latest edition of the Jungle Juice podcast. I'm Sam Gormley. He's Mick Nelson. Mick, how you feeling? Last week on the show, we were both, I think, inches from death.
Oh, yeah. No, COVID's gone. Apparently, guys, me and Sam both felt like poo-poo last week. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know. I thought mine was just a sinus infection. And then, like, Friday, I was just keeled over on my couch for, like, the majority of the day. And I was like, I think this is not a sinus infection. So I took a COVID test, and it was COVID. So, yeah, we're feeling pretty good now.
See, yeah. I never did take a COVID test. I took like my temperature because Wednesday of last week was New Year's Day. That was because we were on Thursday of last week. My days were all screwed up. Was my day that I was like, I didn't feel bad, but I didn't necessarily feel good either. So I was kind of trying to fight through the pain and so on. But luckily now all I have is just this little cough. So I've been popping cough drops now throughout the day on trying to make sure that I don't just start dying in the middle of the show because of a coughing attack. But if that happens, I'll mute myself for you and also our listeners' benefit. It's probably the best way to put it. Yeah, I don't think anybody really wants to hear that.
I think we should try it out. See if the listeners will like it.
Just me just dying on coughing. I think that might be something that some people actually might because it'll keep us quiet. Coming up on the show today, we got a lot to get to. There's a lot of news happening, and I think what we're going to kind of do is go all the way in on this is what the offseason is kind of going to look like. We're going to kind of hit a bunch of this, and then throughout the next, I guess because free agency opens, Mick, like 2 weeks in about 2 months. I think it's March the 10th, I think, is the date that free agency opens. That's when the tampering window or whatever the hell they call it. And then technically they can't sign until the 12th. So it's the 10th is the date that we're all going to circle on our calendars where we're probably going to be unproductive at work. At least I probably will be because I'll be scrolling through Twitter hoping that the Bengals make some free agency signings or whatever it might be. But we're going to kind of spend the next 2 months obviously getting you ready for all of those free agency discussions. But until then, we're going to kind of go over some of the aspects that we're going to expect. So things like the Bengals free agents cap casualties that could be coming. The Bengals now know their draft position. Oh, they now need a defensive coordinator, an offensive line coach, a linebacker coach, and a defensive line coach. Mick has a big board of linebacker coaches, right? That you've broken down the film on who you want to be the next linebacker coach for the Cincinnati Bengals, right?
This is misinformation. I do not have such thing.
We've got the next chapter in the Jermaine Burton saga. We have to talk about that.
Geez. Yeah.
Bengals, Steelers happened as well and everything. So we've got a lot to get to, so we won't waste much more time in doing that. Remember to follow us on our social media channels. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're also on your favorite podcasting platform. Give us a 5-star rating so more people can find the show that way. But how about we just get us started and let's talk a little bit about the season finale on Saturday night, the win against Pittsburgh. And if you remember last week, we were making the discussion that I had to work. So I completely put my phone on do not disturb mode and watched the game when I got home at about 10 o'clock. Didn't finish watching until about 12:30 in the morning. The game, I think, was probably in about the fourth quarter when I started watching, but I saved myself from any spoilers. So I watched it as if anyone else did. And listen, anytime you can beat that team and anytime you can end the season on a win, it's great. We can talk about what happened on Sunday in a moment, but let's first talk some takeaways from the game. We're not going to go all the way in depth of like the things we liked, the things we didn't. So yeah. I think we just hit a couple of the main points. And for me, the one thing that really stood out to me the most was Shaka Hayward.
Yeah. Made
a couple big plays.
And also I did not know he was cousins with Cameron and Connor Hayward of the Pittsburgh Steelers. No idea.
Really? I'm not sure I knew that either. Did they mention that on the broadcast?
Riley mentioned it. And I was like, oh, Riley's just being stupid. He's probably just assuming that because they have the same last name. And then I go and look at Shaka Hayward's Wikipedia, and yeah, he's related to those guys. He's their cousin.
Interesting. I didn't know that either. Look at that. We have information on this podcast. Good job, Riley. You've brought something to the show today.
He did good. He didn't pull it out of his ass, and it was legit.
On cue, he pops in. It's like when you mention, he pops into the comment section. There's no question with that. Then the other guy on defense we have to talk about. I mean, Trey Hendrickson might have won himself the defensive player of the year.
It was definitely a defensive player of the year like type of performance. It was absolutely crazy. What do you have? I think he had 3.5 sacks. Two of them came late in the game. Came at very crucial points. In the game, I think that he's made an argument for himself, especially in recent weeks during this 5-game win streak, and the fact that there isn't another pass rusher that's really been like there hasn't been a dominating pass rusher like candidate for defensive player of the year this year. Like everybody's having really good years that you expect to have good years, like Trey Hendrickson, Micah Parsons, Miles Garrett, TJ Watt, but like none of them are just so much better than the other three. And then you've got, who's the favorite right now? Pat Surtain?
I think Trey Hendrickson's now the favorite.
He's the favorite now because what I was.
Oh, looking, I don't know. I don't know who you're talking Vegas here. I'll give that a Google. I didn't do that.
I think Trey, the last I saw was Trey was number three. Pat Surtain was number one. And
so right now, I am just going to... Okay, wow, actually, I'm surprised you. This is sportsbookreview.com. This seems like a legitimate source, right? Has Pat Surtain at minus 600 and then Trey Hendrickson at plus 750. That seems a little strong towards Surtain.
If the market's that steep of a difference, I mean, Pat Surtain's probably getting the award this year. And, you know, I think it's well-deserved by him, too. 100%. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. He's had a really good year. But that's how good of a year Trey Hendrickson has had this year. And that's with, like, 3 weeks of production kind of being thrown out the window because he had that injury against the Commanders, right? I mean, that's with 3 to 4 weeks of production being thrown out the window, you still led the league in sacks. You were the only source of pass rush on your defense or the only consistent source of pass rush on your defense. And this defense would, I don't know what this defense would look like without Trey Hendrickson. I don't think it would look good. It would not. Yeah, I mean, it didn't look good anyways with Trey Hendrickson.
It would be really scary. I don't think Lou Anarumo would have been the defensive coordinator come end of the season.
We'd be charting Terrell Austin territory if we did not have Trey Hendrickson on the team.
No question about that. Some other highlights, at least for me, from the game. I really liked the first drive. I think they made a statement right off the bat. It was huge. I think they put the stat up there that what the Bengals had gone like 24 straight games without scoring a touchdown on the first drive against the Steelers or something wild like that was ESPN's stat. And I think it was really important to make a statement in that game as if to say, this is not a fluke. We're coming here to play. And I think it was really important that they did that. And I really liked the first drive. That was another big takeaway for me.
It was nice to see a classic Bengals Steelers AFC North game as opposed to the first matchup, which was just all offense. It was pretty disgusting to watch how much offense it was. But this was like a gritty game between these two teams. Really well played. Two highlights. One didn't end up grading that well, and I think I didn't know he had a fumble in the game because his fumble grades it at 28. But Khalil Herbert, I thought, looked pretty good in this game. Stayed on schedule. Yards per attempt were great as 3.5, but I think he was continuously moving the ball down the field. You didn't see any negative plays out of him. Is he going to be the? He's not going to take over Chase Brown's job or anything this year, but. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw the team move on from Zach Moss after the season to make room for Khalil Herbert to be the backup running back going forward.
Yeah, I think you saw some really good things from him. Gesicki had another pretty solid game as well. You saw some good things out of the receivers. It hurt, you could tell, especially late in that game when T. Higgins left with the injury. And yes. I think you're kind of seeing the T. Higgins less Bengals offense, which something tells me we're going to be talking about that a little bit. Over these next 2 months, like maybe once or twice, we're going to be talking about T. Higgins and that decision. Maybe we're just going to have an entire show about it in a couple of weeks just to break it all down. But I think you're seeing that, and it's really important. The offensive line. Is that an answer for you?
Was it good?
No. I mean, it wasn't the worst performance we've ever
Harris
seen.
Harris was good. Alex Kappa actually graded pretty well.
For the first time.
Cody Ford, better than Cordell Volson. Cordell Volson, is he a cut candidate next year? Does he provide depth? And
I mean, the thing with Cordell, and I haven't even looked up his contract. I have some list of some potential cut candidates. I can't imagine his contract being a fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick. Even being worth cutting, it would probably save such minuscule numbers for the Bengals that I can't imagine that it would even necessarily be worth cutting any money. Like here, let's put it up. If they cut him, it would save $1.1 million and it would be $164,000 in dead money, which to me says
not worth it. And also, he still provides good depth. I still think that. You know, if we move on from him as a starter, which I think that they should, and they pretty much did already, via benching him. He still has a lot of experience and would probably serve well as a good backup. And hell, maybe we get a good offensive line coach in. I have a big board for offensive line coach.
Oh, okay. We'll come back to that here in a couple of minutes.
It's only one guy. It's not a big board, but it's one guy.
Okay, I'm intrigued because I don't know
who I'm going to say here.
Okay, well let's get to that here in a couple of minutes because I'm intrigued as to who this might be. I think that's pretty much because we've got so much to talk about. I don't know that there's that much more for us to discuss just because we have to then get to Sunday. Are you good with that? Anything other major points that we're missing?
Cade York, good job. You made all four of your field goals. You made your extra point attempt.
I did have that on there, too. He bounced
back. He won the game. He did good. He did bounce back game.
He did. Bengals missed the playoffs, officially. As the Jets did their job.
They did.
And then the
Dude, that was comical. It was such a comical game. Like, after the second touchdown, I was just kind of laughing.
Like, I turned even it though off. We, yeah, I was like, okay. Because, I mean, let's be real. Yeah, I think. But can we get over the whole, like, oh, they're doing it on purpose, throwing. Like, they weren't doing that to spite the Bengals. They were doing that because they didn't want to get anybody hurt.
Good.
That was
good
not friend, a spite of the good Bengals.
Friend Alex Schubert was venting to me about, like, being pretty pissed off with these opinions earlier this week.
I did like, though, Joe Goodberry on Twitter. He was being very tongue-in-cheek with it.
Okay, like, I couldn't tell if he was.
Oh, he was. He was absolutely like, being tongue-in-cheek.
Very, I was going to say, this doesn't sound very Joe Goodberry of him.
And he was, okay. So you say things up, Chiefs, they don't want the Bengals. Look at them going, blah-da-da-da-da. And it was just really funny that Chiefs fans were getting extremely mad, but it was 100% doing that. But I mean, I think, you know, the biggest thing with this was not that the Chiefs sat their guys. This was, and I think I was listening or saw a tweet from Paul Daner Jr. of when you were watching that game, which loss was coming to your mind that often? And you get one of those and the Bengals are in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, Tanner Hudson doesn't fumble. You might beat the Patriots week one. They don't botch the snap. You'd think Evan McPherson maybe makes that. They call one of the penalties in the Ravens game, and Joe Burrow maybe completes the pass to Tanner Hudson, and they beat the Ravens. You know, we could keep on going and going and going. Evan McPherson doesn't have an awful game against the Chargers. Maybe they win that game. You know, Dejan Anthony doesn't commit.
Not only could they have made the playoffs, I mean, even if it was just
they could have won the division.
I was going to say, there was like six of these games, right, where mm-hmm. it was literally just one or two plays that just didn't break our way this year. And, like you just said, they could have won the division. We could have been sitting in Paycor this weekend watching them play the Steelers.
Paychecks, right? Isn't that what it is now?
It won't be paychecks. It won't be paychecks next week or this week.
And that's the part that hurts the most. But I think it's also the part that leads us into something we'll talk about here in a few minutes. And let's come back to this, because I think let's touch a little bit about Jermaine Burton before we get into the Black Monday. Because I think it's important for us to discuss right off the bat, because it is maybe the biggest news from the past week. So it came out, I guess it was Friday, that he's not going to travel with the team to Pittsburgh due to a, quote, coach's decision. Earlier today, Kelsey Conway from the Inquirer, they filed open records requests on these situations, the rumored situations. For one, we learned Jermaine Burton is being evicted from his apartment at the Banks. Now, that read into that how you want. That could mean a variety of different things. But the part that is damning right now, 911 call was released where a 19-year-old female alleges that Burton met her at apartment, chased her inside, damaged her phone, and assaulted her, including choking her. Then she alleges that he held a knife to his neck and threatened to kill himself. She originally wanted to file charges, but then changed her mind. Mick, he's your guy. He's your guy, you know. And on the field, because I saw the posts saying, you know, oh, he's a bust. The Bengals should have never made this pick, blah, 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 blah. You flip on the film, and he's a first-round wide receiver.
Yes.
It's this that made him a third or a fourth round wide receiver. And the Bengals rolled the dice. Is it time to give up?
If it turns out that this is true, and I'm not going to speculate as to whether it's true or not, but if it turns out this is true, Jermaine Burton will never step field on an NFL stadium again. There's absolutely no excuse if this ends up being true for anybody to employ this man. And this is a guy that I loved as a draft pick. Like you said, you see the film, you see the deep ball ability that he had and the route running savvy that he had running at Alabama with Jalen Milroe as quarterback, who wasn't a refined passer last year. It's really disappointing. Like, there's really no other way I can put it. I'm really disappointed by this. I thought he was going to have a huge year this year. I was really excited for him. And I think a lot of fans were, especially after the preseason he had. But this is there's no excuse for this. And obviously he just doesn't, the professionalism aside, this is just absolutely inexcusable.
And like Lisa says here, he clearly needs help.
Yeah.
He clearly needs help more than football at this point. Throw it to the side. He clearly has some issues, and I hope he does get it. If this is true, and I mean, we don't. I know he apparently posted a cryptic message on Instagram saying lies or something, which we're not in the business where we're going to dive into this story. It's just really sad, and I don't want to really dwell on it. Dwell is not the right word, but I don't want to spend too much time talking about it because we weren't there. We don't know the situation, but I don't know what the Bengals can do now at this point.
No, if it turns out that this is valid and statistically, then in terms of the truth coming out, the victim party is usually, you know, very correct on this. Not saying that that's the case in this situation, but he should be cut immediately, and no team will re-sign him.
Yes, I don't think you're wrong on that. Okay, there we go. We've touched on that. We've moved on. So now we go into Black Monday. You know, the Bengals wasted no time on Monday morning. It happened right off the bat that it comes out that the Bengals have fired Lou Anarumo, Frank Pollock, Marion Hobby, and James Betcher. First off, let's just talk Lou Anarumo. I think we both agree that it was the right decision.
Yes. And we have a laundry list of reasons, I think.
And listen, we're not going to take anything away from what Lou Anarumo did for this team, especially on those two runs, deep runs into the playoffs. He played a huge role, obviously, in that. But the last 2 years have been unacceptable. And sometimes it's not necessarily an indictment on a coach. Sometimes you just need a fresh voice. And I think this is the epitome of that. It's not necessarily an indictment on Lou. Some of it is. But I think this is just where this team needs a fresh voice.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest indictment of Lou, and people make the argument, oh, well, he wasn't given any talent on this defense. Let's go back to the past three drafts. The first three rounds of the past three drafts. How many defensive players were selected? Do you know? I do know.
Double digits?
No. Out of the first three rounds, so 10 total picks, how many of them went?
Oh, so 10, it was what, 8, wasn't it?
7. I think it was 7.
7, okay. Because, I mean, you have Jermaine Burton in there, and you have...
Amarius Mims.
Yes, Amarius Mims. But other than that, it's entirely defense.
Yeah.
Because Dax Hill, Miles Murphy, Cam Taylor-Britt, DJ Turner.
Zach Carter. And also anybody that blames the scouting department, because our scouting department is smaller, it is the smallest in the league. The Bengals coaches are heavily involved in the scouting of these draft prospects, including Lou Anarumo. Out of these 7 or 8 guys, I think it's 7 guys. How many of them can you say are franchise cornerstone pieces that you are for sure going to extend come their second contract? I don't think any of them. I don't know if any of them. Yeah. I don't think anyone.
I mean, you see flashes. Like this year, you saw some flashes from DJ Turner. You saw some flashes from Cam Taylor-Britt, but then you have some other things. Dax Hill, you saw some flashes. But then all three of those guys, what's the common thread between them? Is there secondary guys? What's Lou Anarumo's background? The secondary.
And they should. You should have had at least one of them turning into maybe not an all pro corner. Maybe not even a Pro Bowler corner, but at least Chido Bey Awuzie, right? A top 15 corner in the league.
Not dog crap.
Yeah, and I'm not saying those three were
benching the guy in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
You're hoping that you don't have to bench the guy in the middle of the game because he's inept at what he's doing out on the field, like they had to do a couple of times this season with Cam Taylor-Britt. Like Daryl said, he's not wrong here. Josh Newton, you saw some flashes. You saw some flashes there. Maybe you can see some things, but he also is a day three corner, and he had some moments in the games that he proved that he was a day three corner.
Yeah.
I just think it's one of these things that I wish Lou the best of luck, and it wouldn't shock me if he's a defensive coordinator in the NFL next year. I know that there was rumors that the Giants were potentially going to be interviewing him for that job, and I hope he has a lot of success there, and it's long-term success. Yeah, but it was the right move.
Yeah, not to shit on Lou too much here, and to your point, like, he's had success with the Bengals. We've had two really good seasons out of the defense. And, you know, he seems like a good culture guy, really good fit with the coaching staff in terms of his demeanor and how he operated with the rest of the coaching staff and with the team. But it just, the talent development was not there, and you needed that to be there.
They also fired Frank Pollock. I know you cried and you were heartbroken over that.
About what?
Frank Pollock. I know you're a big Frank Pollock guy. Big Frank Pollock guy. Marion Hobby, who I think was maybe the most obvious firing other than Lou Anarumo, because the defensive line, you mentioned it just a few minutes ago, they have Trey Hendrickson and that's about it. You saw some stuff from Joseph Osai, but one of those early picks was a defensive lineman who we've yet to see anything from in Miles Murphy. And you're thinking that probably has to go on Marion Hobby. And then James Betcher, the linebacker coach, also gone. This also does solidify that Zach Taylor is back, which I don't think was any surprise. And listen, I know I'm a Zach Taylor guy. He's earned this. Now, this is a huge year for Zach Taylor. This is a huge next year for Zach Taylor.
This is a hot seat season for Zach Taylor.
100%. 100%. He's got to figure it out this year. Got to make the playoffs. But he has earned the right to hire a new defensive coordinator and figure it out. But because of that, the pressure is on for him to nail it. We've seen the confirmed interviews for the defensive coordinator position. Patrick Graham, who is the defensive coordinator for the Raiders, and DeMarcus Covington, who is the defensive coordinator for the Patriots this past year. Those are the only two that have been locked in. Now, part of that is that you'd imagine is that both those guys, they, for one, don't have a head coach with them right now, and then two, they're not in the playoffs, which means that you can talk to them. So a lot of these guys, they can't talk because they have all the rules based on playoffs and, you know, and everything that goes along the lines of that. But Patrick Graham, DeMarcus Covington, any strong feeling on either one of those?
I wouldn't mind Patrick Graham as a defensive coordinator. I think we've seen some success out of him in the league. It's kind of been hit or miss, though, throughout his career. Now, how much of that has to do with he hasn't had the best talent on his defenses, and I think there's a very valid point to that. But we've seen him have some pretty good defenses with the Raiders. We've seen him develop Max Crosby into becoming a really good edge rusher in the league. And maybe this defense is a top 10 defense if Christian Wilkins played this year for the Raiders. And we also saw him have some success with the Giants a few years back when he was there. I remember he was being touted as a head coaching candidate at some point. He was definitely getting interviews.
And he's interviewing with the Jaguars right now. Not right now, but he is during this cycle. He's interviewing with the Jags. Now, mm-hmm. I can't imagine that's going to enthrall the Jaguar fans hiring the defensive coordinator from the Raiders, but still he's getting the jobs. The DeMarcus Covington one year is the defensive coordinator of the Patriots. I don't know how much you can really judge into him for one year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he still has a lot of experience to be had. Now, I mean, he does cover the Belichick coaching tree. He's been a part of a lot of good defensive staffs and defensive units in New England. But I think the Bengals are wanting more experience, I think, out of their potential defensive coordinator here. And if they're not going to go with guy of experience, they need to go with the next hot shot guy. And I mean, I don't think DeMarcus Covington really proved that in his season with New England this past year.
Lisa asks, do you guys have a favorite for defensive coordinator? And here's the name that I'm going to drop that if you were setting the Vegas line, he would be the favorite. And that's Al Golden, linebacker coach for the Bengals from 2020 to 2021. He's the current defensive coordinator for Notre Dame, who is a very good defense. We've seen that now in the playoffs. He did say yesterday, he was asked about the Bengals job, and his direct quote was, it took us 30 years to get to this point here. I'm not worried about anything else. Just how to stop Penn State. I've talked to nobody. I can't even get out of the facility. Now, to me, that's not a no. That is, I'm focused on a big game that we're playing in the college football playoff this week. I'd imagine he's going to talk to the Bengals because, listen, why wouldn't you? What's the worst thing that can happen? Now, I don't know what his contract says on whether he's able to or not, but that to me is the favorite for the defensive coordinator position. And I think if that's the guy, I'm not unhappy. I think that'd be a really solid hire.
Yeah, no, I think him and Marcus Freeman have really teamed together to have a killer defense at Notre Dame. Now, here's the one issue I have with Al Golden is that Lou Anarumo made $1.5 million this year, and Al Golden at Notre Dame right now is making on average $2.5 million a year. That's we don't know what the Bengals are going to sign their next defensive coordinator to contract wise, but that's just something to kind of keep in mind that, you know, of the potential pay discrepancy Al Golden could take by just going to an NFL coaching job. And also, I feel like NFL coordinator positions are a lot more volatile in terms of getting fired and hired. And I know the Bengals are really the exception to that.
Which might make the job more, you know, more desirable. Because I think, like Lisa says here, you know, do you think it's a desirable job? Will the front office prevent someone from being interested? For me, I don't know how it's not desirable. Because if I'm a defensive coordinator and I take my Bengals hat off and I'm looking at this job, I'm saying, you're telling me that I have the best quarterback in the NFL or one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL on the other sideline who most games scores 30 points a game. So you're telling me that my defense has to pretty much on most games score allow less than 30 points and I'm going to be a successful defensive coordinator? Yeah, that sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty good. Let's do this. I think it's a very desirable job. Now, I'm trying to take my bias out, but I think it absolutely is. Some other names that Paul Daner Jr. mentioned, and one of these guys was a name I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago. So this is Paul Daner in his article on The Athletic. Christian Parker, that's a name I brought up to you a couple of weeks ago. I don't think I could remember his name, but I explained to you who
is Philly, right?
Correct. He's a guy that I mentioned. He's 32 years old. He is the current secondary coach for the Eagles. I mean, you're looking, who's the best defense in the NFL this year?
By far, Eagles.
Yeah, it's not even close. And they got a really good secondary, really young secondary. So he's got a lot of experience dealing with a young secondary as well. And who is he under? Well, maybe the best defensive coordinator of this day and age, or one of the best defensive coordinators under this day of age. He is a Vic Fangio disciple.
I mean, that one would of the make best him, of all time.
Yeah, 100%. So that's the question of, to me, if Zach Taylor wants to roll the dice and get a guy that has never been a defensive coordinator but might turn into the next Vic Fangio, that to me is the most, you know, the most viable option when it comes to that.
Yeah, and we've seen disciples of Vic Fangio have some success in the league. I mean, the number one mind that number one coach that comes to mind to me is Brandon Staley. Now, I know that Brandon Staley's defenses weren't very good in LA with the Chargers, but we've seen him have, I think, the number one defense in the league in 2021 with the Rams.
Yes.
2020 with the Rams, I believe. Mm-hmm. 2021 was his first year with the Chargers. But I think that we've seen disciples of him have success. And if we're going with like with the younger guy or the unknown guy, I know I told you this name a few days back, but another like coaching tree that's had a lot of success in the league and defensive coordinator has been from Jim Harbaugh. We've seen Mike McDonald run some absolute killer defenses with the Ravens. You saw the Seahawks have a huge improvement in their defense this year. When he in his first year as the head coach, and then also Jesse Minter with the Los Angeles Chargers has had a really good defense this year as well. So the guy I'm looking at is the co-defensive coordinator with Jesse Minter in their last year at Michigan, and the current defensive backs coach and not passing game coordinator, but he's been that before. His name's Steve Klinkscale.
Go Cats.
Go Cats. Former Kentucky defensive backs coach. I think you said that Kentucky had really good secondaries while he was there.
Yes.
Michigan's defensive back unit were constantly rated in the top five of college football via PFF grading.
And maybe two of those guys are on the Bengals?
Yeah. Yeah. And he also has rapport with a lot of players on the Bengals side of the on the defensive side of the football, and he's directly worked with players like Dax Hill and DJ Turner, and then Chris Jenkins also has some familiarity with him as well. So if we're looking at young hotshots, I think those are the two guys that are going to be really sought after.
Hopefully some other names that Paul Daner mentioned in his article, and I saw Daryl mention it. Jim Leonard, who's the current defensive back coach for the Broncos, former defensive coordinator from Wisconsin. He was listed on there. Aubrey Pleasant, who is the Rams pass game coordinator right now, and he was on staff with Zach Taylor in L.A.
It was between him and Lou for the job, wasn't it?
He was rumored to be a candidate for the staff back in 2019 for the Bengals. And then a couple other names that Daner mentions, Dennis Allen, former Saints head coach, Matt Eberflus, former Bears head coach, Mike Zimmer. I don't see that one coming. And then the big one that I think I saw, like Riley mentioned, and I think it's the one that if this happened tomorrow, fans would probably celebrate in the streets, and that's Robert Saleh. But I don't think that's going to happen because you mentioned the whole money thing. But also, I think he could be head coach.
Also, guess who just fired his defensive coordinator today?
Kyle Shanahan. Yes, so he may be headed back to San Francisco. But he's also interviewing with the Jaguars. He may get a head coaching job this year. But those are at least a couple of the names mentioned. Do you have a... you think the Bengals will go, and who is you hope the Bengals will go?
Dang.
I know I'm kind of put on the spot, but I...
Who do I
like? If you were Vegas, who's the favorite?
Oh, Al Golden. I'm going Al Golden's
the favorite. Okay.
Yeah.
And you would be okay with that?
I would be okay with that. I wouldn't be opposed to it. Who do I hope they go with? I mean, I think Klinkscale or Christian Parker. I want the new hot.
So you want to roll the dice?
I want to roll the dice.
I'm not going to be mad if it is a roll the dice candidate. Now, the question is for Zach Taylor. Is for one, I saw that there was some fan stuff of, Zach Taylor's not going to want to hire Matt Eberflus or Robert Saleh or somebody because he's worried that could be his replacement. I don't think Zach Taylor thinks that way. You know what Zach Taylor wants to do? He wants to hire the guy that is going to make him save his job. Because if he doesn't nail this head coaching hire, he's going to be looking for a job probably this time next year if he doesn't nail this defensive coordinator. So I think he's going to get the best guy possible. Now, the question is, does that mean that he is willing to roll the dice on a guy like a Christian Parker or a Steve Klinkscale, or does he go with a safe candidate, which would probably be more of your Al Goldens or your
Eberflus,
Jim Leonard or something like that? And I don't know the question to that.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I think we just want whoever is going to realize the full potential of this defense, whoever's going to develop the talent that we know that this defense has. I mean, it's not like it's not like the Bengals were reaching for draft picks when they were drafting these past three drafts. I mean, these were all drafts that were highly touted by draft pundits when the draft results came out.
This wasn't Jackson Carmen.
No.
None of these guys. I mean, maybe you could say that with McKinley Jackson, but...
And he's still the one that's actually developed and kind of turned out this year.
He's had some really good moments. Okay, other coaching vacancies. Your linebacker's coach of the future is... No, I'm kidding. So who's your offensive line coach?
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstars startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
What do we have to do to bring Paul Alexander back in the building?
Oh, no.
What?
No, absolutely not.
Why?
Paul Alexander is also the guy that was all in on Cedric Oboihe and Jake Fisher. And yeah, no, I'm out on.
We've
Paul
seen
Alexander.
Him develop top five offensive lines for the majority of his career.
Yeah,
we saw him develop guys like Andrew Whitworth. Who else am I thinking about? I mean, Andre Smith had a good career here. Wasn't he Willie's coach for a long time? He's Willie's coach for quite a while. I mean,
How old is Paul Alexander, though, now?
He's like in his 60s.
Now I got to look up to see. I don't even know if he has a Wikipedia page. He's 64. He's 64. So he's the Bengals offensive line coach from 1994 to 2017.
Yeah. Okay, so he did develop Willie Anderson. We've seen a lot of great offensive linemen.
But do you really think they're going to be able to hire him from the Dresden Monarchs right now? He's the head coach.
I thought he left there.
I don't know. Wikipedia said he was there in 2023. So he was went 13-3. So I don't imagine that. Lisa says, "Yeah, she is old. He's Mark's age."
Who cares? Bill Callahan's an existing coach in the league as an offensive line coach. That guy's even older than Paul Alexander.
I don't know. I could be wrong, but that one would make me go, because if he was such a good offensive line coach, why is he coaching the Dresden Monarchs right now?
I don't know. He's older. Maybe he wanted to take a break for a while. Maybe he's ready to get back on the saddle. All I know is we had some really good offensive lines under Paul Alexander. Yeah, Cedric Oboihe and Jake Fisher didn't pan out. Sometimes you're not going to strike gold with offensive line picks, but I think the history of his offensive lines have been, for the most part, very good.
I believe, and let me see if I'm right on this, but I believe the other guy that he got on the table, yes, the other guy he got on the table and boasted for the Bengals to draft was Jackson Carman.
Paul Alexander?
Yeah. Here's an article I'm reading right now. I remember that now.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Says he believes.
Well, maybe what is his direct
coach? He's a powerful coach. He's a powerful guy. He can knock guys off the ball better than any lineman in this draft.
Well, maybe if Paul Alexander coached Jackson Carman, Jackson Carman would be an all-pro right now.
Whatever you say. I don't know. I don't know. I'm fascinated to see where that goes. Because my idea is that you'll see that one, and you'll see the defensive coordinator position hired first. And then the defensive coordinator will make the decisions on the rest of the coaches. Because you could see, you know, the secondary coach leave. You know, the safeties coach, Jordan Kovacs, and Charles Burks, who's the cornerback coach, whether the defensive coordinator wants to get his own guys in there. So I'll be interested to see how that goes along. Offensive offseason preview, rather. Some things coming up in this offseason for us to hit on. First off, I was telling you this last night, and Riley was rudely trying to spoil my big offseason prediction, bold prediction for the offseason last night when we were talking, because I wanted your natural reaction. This is something that I feel very confident in when I'm making a prediction for the Bengals offseason. And it is a schedule related. And it is, I feel very confident in this. The Cincinnati Bengals will play next season in Germany against the Detroit Lions. That's my bold prediction for the Bengals offseason. Here's why. You're looking at we feel pretty confident that the Bengals, because what, they haven't been to England or to Europe or international game since 2019. So they're due for a game.
So you haven't had a home game. They haven't had a home game.
15, right?
2016.
16. So you're feeling very confident there. And I disagree with what Riley says here. I think Germany makes a lot of sense because of the German connection between Cincinnati as well. But it might be England. Who knows? When you look at the Bengals' schedule, you know you can take three of the games of the potential nine and throw them out. They're not going to put a divisional game over there.
No.
Although if there was a team they would do it to, it's going to be it's probably be the Bengals. So you look at this, you have Jags, Lions, Pats, Cards, Bears, and Jets. The Jags, Pats, Bears, and Jets all played a game there this past season. Now the Jags go over there every year, so it's possible that the Bengals could get the Jags home game over there this year.
There's sometimes where the Jags are even there twice a year. Like they were one home game and one away game.
They do. And that's typically what their thing is. So there's a potential that the Bengals, that could be what happens to them next year, and that would guarantee the game to be in England. The Cardinals were there in 2022. The last time the Detroit Lions played an international game, Mick, do you know?
No, never.
2015.
Okay.
It's been 10 years. It's been 10 years since the Lions have played an international game. Now, I was thinking, okay, who do the Lions go to then of their AFC opponents? The Ravens is the other one, and the Ravens were just there. It was either 2022 or 2023. I don't remember. So probably the Ravens will not be going to an international game. So therefore, when you look at this, I feel pretty confident in backing this up that the Lions-Bengals game will be in an international game next year, and I think it'll be in Germany.
That's I don't know
my reasoning, old,
but yeah, I mean, I think that's
sound reasoning.
I think it's a sound prediction. I mean, I think they're definitely due for an international game. Like you said, I mean, both teams have been, it's been a long time since. Now, I don't know, because it's so good of a matchup, would you want to move that overseas?
Or would you want to?
I know, because you want viewership. You're not going to get viewership on TV if the game's at 9:30 in the morning.
Or is that more likely that you would get viewership because it's not the Bears against the Jets?
Not a lot of people are waking up at 9:30 on a Sunday to watch a game. Yeah, especially a game that's being hosted on NFL Network.
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeing with that. But when you look at this, now it might be the Jags. I'm hoping this isn't true, because I want to see Bengals Lions at Paycor or Paychex or whatever the hell we're going to call it next year. I want to see that.
If I had to bet, I think it, so when were the Cardinals there last?
2022. So I don't see that happening.
I mean, if it, I just don't think it would be the Lions, even though, I mean, that would be cool. I just don't think they would sacrifice the viewership of that game to just because they haven't played overseas in a while.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it goes along.
I do think we have an international game, though. Yes. One of those games will be an international game, and it'll be a home game.
So, to me, it's either Jags or Lions. Maybe Cardinals, but you know for a fact it's not going to be Steelers, Browns, Ravens, Pats, Bears, or Jets. Because it's not going to be a divisional game, and the Pats, Bears, and Jets were all in international games last year. So they're not going to send them back-to-back years.
Yeah.
Which leaves two games, or three games. If you want to put the Cardinals in there, the Jags, and the Lions.
Yeah, I would go with one of those other two, but yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Bengals free agents for this year. Let's quickly rip through these, and let's just bold prediction it right now. Should they be back, and will they be back? Okay?
Yeah.
Let's start off the right way. T. Higgins. Now, I think we're going to have a show here soon. But right now, will T. Higgins be back with the Cincinnati Bengals next year?
Yes and yes. He will be back. He should be back. Joe Burrow's already expressed this.
I agree.
You don't want to piss off your $550 million quarterback. Yeah. Bring him back. Figure a way to make it work.
I agree completely. B.J. Hill.
No. And no. I don't think he should be back. I don't think he will be back. He's turned 30, or he is turning 30. We saw him down.
Hasn't necessarily been there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard for your production to be there when DJ Reader isn't right next to you. And also, he's dealt with injuries the entire year this year.
But at the same time, it's not like DJ Reader's coming back.
No.
So you have to question that. Here's maybe one of the tougher decisions. And Lisa brings it up. Mike Hilton.
It depends on how much you want to prioritize Jadae Barron in the draft, because Jadae Barron is a really good nickelback prospect, but you're going to have to spend a first or a second round pick on him. But I'd bring him back.
To me, it's a one, maybe 2 year deal.
I don't know. He might price himself out because, we've still seen some good quality play out of him. You know, the Bengals don't like to sign players to their third contracts. I have a feeling that some other team's going to shove out more money to him than the Bengals are willing to give.
I think I agree with that. I don't think he'll be back because of that reason. And if he is, it's almost a quote-unquote hometown discount. You know, nobody else is really that interested on him. But that's one that I think could go either way. Here's a guy. Remember Trent Brown?
Yes. Bring
Bengals
him back.
Bengals legend.
Bring him back. They should bring him back. He didn't cost a lot of money this year. He's not going to cost a lot of money next year. Get him as an insurance policy.
I wouldn't be mad. I don't think they will, because of the whole him not practicing in the offseason. And then you also have to wonder, that was a nasty leg injury he had. Now, obviously, the Bengals will know how he is, but... Oh, excuse me. I felt that coming. It's interesting, though. You don't hear anything about him. Like, I understand that he's out for the season, but it's not like you ever heard, he was in the locker room, he was doing rehab, like, nothing. So that's where I'm wondering if he just kind of peaced out as soon as the season was over, which I don't necessarily blame him. It's not like he was going to play again this year, but yeah. I'll be interested in that. Akeem Davis Gaither.
I mean, if it's another one-year deal, yeah, sure.
I kind of agree on that. Mike Gesicki, I'm going to say yes to both. I think he's a guy that he might have priced himself out, but I think he'd be a good, like, 2 for 9, 2 for 10, or something in that realm.
I think if the Bengals don't re-sign T, Mike Gesicki's back on the team.
So if they do, he's not?
Yes.
Interesting. Marco Wilson.
Give me a one-year deal, Marco Wilson. I mean, I
like. It's not like he's going to cost anything.
He's not going to cost that much money. No. I liked him in the snaps and the reps that he had. Now, the thing is, it's not like other than Mike Hilton, all the other corners are still on the team. You know, you still have Josh Newton, you have Dax Hill, CTB. There's another one. Who's the other guy? DJ Turner. So there might be too many players at corner that are still on the team, but also, I mean, some of those guys are might not be ready come week one either. So
yeah, it'll be interesting there. To me, he's like your Sidney Brown. Remember them? They signed him. They picked him up on the practice squad and signed him to compete to be like the cornerback six on the team. Like he's a guy that you bring in as a camp body.
Not Sidney Brown, Sidney Jones.
Jones, yes, Sidney Jones. Thank you. Cody Ford. I think he's earned his right to come back.
Yeah, no, he's
versatile.
He's versatile. He got more screen time than I ever would have thought he would get during the Monday Night Football broadcast. Like literally, they were mentioning Cody Ford. Like they mentioned him like five or six times and showed close ups of him like so many times. And Troy was just talking about him for some reason. But I think Cody Ford's earned his spot on the team. I'm worried that some team might want to try to pay him to be a starter at either guard or, I mean, I don't think he'd start a tackle league wide, but especially at guard.
But he's shown that he can be at least a somewhat serviceable tackle.
Yeah.
Somewhat serviceable.
Yes. And also I think he's been, he's definitely an upgrade over Cordell Volson at guard. So I mean, hell, he could be the quick fix at guard that you could have. That way, it's not as much of a pressing need this offseason.
Joseph Osai, I think yes. I think you know if you could sign him for like a 2-year, $10 million somewhere in that range or something. I don't think he's going to cost a lot, but I think you finally saw in the last 8 weeks or so some of the things that we've hoped to have been seeing from Joseph Osai.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now I do think other teams are going to take note of that and maybe try to snatch him from the Bengals in free agency. So I'm going to go with yes, they should, but I don't think he's back.
Tanner Hudson, no.
Bye bye.
Yeah, Joe Bocci.
Sure.
Yeah, that's kind of my answer. Sure, maybe. I don't know. I think Darren Simmons likes him as a special teams guy. Von Bell, appreciate your service, but no.
Yeah,
no. Travion Williams, appreciate your service, but no.
Yeah.
They might bring him back on a 1-year, like you're competing in training camp, but I don't imagine that.
I think Travion Williams will be on the practice squad, okay. Potentially.
Jay Tufele.
No.
Yeah, I think you're hoping that you can maybe get a better Jay Tufele in free agency or in the draft, maybe next year. Cam Sample and Deontay Smith. To me, those, I don't even know we can answer that because we have no idea what their recovery is like.
Yeah, I mean, I think Deontay Smith is gone. Like, the guy has really played no snaps in the league.
Unless you're just hoping that your new offensive line coach can figure something out with him. But yeah, no, I can't imagine that he does. And he'd be a stupid cheap deal anyways.
Yeah. Cam Sample, that's an interesting. I think Cam Sample, given the injury, I mean, his price has probably gone down quite a bit. Where, like, if you asked me last year, I probably would have Osai and Cam Sample, like, flip-flopped in terms of, like, well, you know, Cam Sample might have played himself to more money at elsewhere with a different team, and Osai would be the guy that we can get back for cheap, but that injury kind of changes everything. So I'm going to say Cam Sample is back next year.
Yeah, and I think it'll probably be a 1-year deal to see as a who are you?
Yeah.
This is your prove it deal. Cal Adamidas and Cade York are both restricted free agents. I think you're probably going to see Cal Adamidas have some sort of competition. I think they bring him back, but I think, you know, some of the questions were the snaps maybe part of the issue. Maybe they'll have a long snapper competition.
I think next he just year. Needs to change his number from 48. That number is bad juju for long snapping.
You just say that too, because I have the 48 jersey and I'm a cursed Bengals jersey. Chris Evans.
Bye.
Yeah. Khalil Herbert. Back.
Yes.
Back. And then exclusive rights free agents, which means they're almost assuredly back, is Jackson Kirkland, Ryan Rico, and Cam Grandy. To me, Ryan Rico is the easiest decision on this list.
Yeah.
He had a really, really solid rookie season as a punter in this NFL. The other big discussion point, and again, we're just going to hit these really quick. And over these,
did
next
we talk
couple
Geno
months,
Stone yet? Well, Geno Stone's not a free agent.
He's not a free agency. That's okay. What I'm headed into right now of Bengals potential cap casualties. So I'm just going to hit through here. I'm going to list a couple of the guys on this list and then list what it would do for the Bengals cap going into next year. We can just say cut or not. Sam Hubbard would save $9.6 million with $2 million in dead money. It hurts, but I don't think you can afford to pay Sam Hubbard that much money next year.
No, he's not. If he's back, he's restructuring the hell out of that deal.
Yes, without question. And it wouldn't shock me if he does. He's a Cincinnati kid. I'd imagine he's probably been smart with his money. So it's not like, and it's not like he's going to go out onto the open market and make $9 million. I can't imagine a team pays him that. Maybe, but yeah. I'd imagine that you'd be able to get him relatively cheap. And Sheldon, go on.
I was going to say, and it, now that he's actually had some time to kind of sit and maybe rest, maybe you're getting a better version of Sam Hubbard next year. If you bring it back on the cheap, if you cut him, bring him back on the cheap or restructure. And there's a good chance that happens.
And that it'll hurt. Like Lisa says, he is a Cincinnati kid. He's made maybe the biggest play in the history of I guess it was Paul Brown at that point. Paul Brown Stadium, without question on that. It would hurt a lot. Sheldon Rankins would save $9.5 million or $2 million in dead money. Bye. Hope you feel better.
Yeah, we genuinely hope that he's
okay.
Doing better. Is he okay?
No, I'm saying that he is. Yes, I hope he is okay.
Yeah, I mean, we genuinely hope he's okay. But yeah, I mean, that's just, again, that's $14 million is what his annual contract value was. What's the savings?
So he would save $9.5 million for $2 million in dead money.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Next one that I know we disagree on, but to me is maybe the easiest decision on this list is Alex Kappa. You're saving $8 million, 2.25 in dead. You can't afford to bring him back. He won the triple crown at guard of giving up most pressures, most sacks, and most pressures, sacks, and quarterback hits or something. I think he led the league in all three of those categories as a guard. Yeah, you can't afford to bring him back.
I was holding out so much hope that he would right the ship because of how solid he's been the past two seasons, or in 2022 and 2023.
But he was
something's clearly not right with him.
He was terrible this year.
Yeah.
He was awful. Good luck. Hope you have fun. But yeah, you're not a Cincinnati Bengal next year. I'm throwing this one on here just because going down the list, he was the next one on there. Jermaine Pratt, $5.8 million in savings, $2.3 million in dead money.
Yeah, he's coming back.
I agree. The most difficult decision. Geno Stone. 6.5 in savings, 1.6 in dead money.
I think we're both going to have the same answer here, which is it depends on who the defensive coordinator is going to be.
Yeah.
If you have a guy that has real pedigree with managing the defensive backfield, and you think that maybe he can get Geno Stone back to what he was, then he's worth the money. I mean, we saw some really high-end play from Geno Stone this year, and we've seen some really low-end play from Geno Stone this year. I know we were talking after the Cowboys-Titans game, and it seemed like he might have turned a corner. You know, he posted really good grades in both of those games. The coverage was really good. He was getting interceptions like he was in Baltimore last year. And then the past few games haven't been nearly as good. He's still an absolute liability in run defense.
Understatement of the year.
He was the worst run defending safety in football last year. He was the worst run defending safety in football this year. If you could try to get him to be an exclusively ball hawk kind of guy, and you have good run defense everywhere around, because here's the thing, it's easier to mask Geno Stone's issues when you have Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen and Justin Madubuike and whoever the hell else the Ravens have on the field. Mm-hmm. It's a lot different. It's virtually impossible to mask Geno Stone's issues when you have the 2024 Bengals defense on the field with him.
And then again, you mentioned, what's he the worst at? Run defense. What are six of his games against that we can guarantee next year? What are the Browns going to probably do a lot of next year? Probably run the ball. What do the Steelers do a lot of? Run the ball. What do the Ravens do a lot of? Run the ball.
That's an understatement from the Ravens.
Yeah. So that is, it's kind of, you see that you're putting a weakness in that position. Does he fit in the AFC North? We've seen that. But then again, you're thinking, who's the one passing team in the AFC North? You're knowing that Geno Stone would be going up as a Raven against the Bengals, where the Bengals don't play themselves. So that's kind of the question with it. I really, this is one that when we have this conversation, you know, in free agency opens in about 2 months, where you could tell me the Bengals cut Geno Stone and I would say okay, and the Bengals keep Geno Stone and I would say okay, and I would not be surprised either way. Like, yeah. I think it is truly a 50-50 decision, and I think you're right on saying if it is a guy like a Steve Klinkscale or the guy from the Eagles, that maybe they keep him.
Yeah.
But if it's an Al Golden, maybe you don't. I'm interested in doing that. Zach Moss, 3.5 in savings, 1.5 in dead mill.
Gone.
And then the one that people keep saying that I just think is pure and utter stupidity, but at least to mention it, Evan McPherson, post June 1 cut would be $2.5 million in savings, 2.1 in dead money. But you got to think too, dead money would be also in the next couple of seasons as well on that. Evan McPherson is going to be the kicker next year. Now, Cade York might stick around and compete with him in training camp, but I'd be stunned, barring injury, if Evan McPherson is not the kicker next year for the Bengals week
one. Evan McPherson took a discount. He should be making top of, I mean, before this season, he should have been making top of the league money, and he took a discount to stay with the Cincinnati Bengals. You're not going to wrong him. I don't care. I don't care how bad of a year he had this year. Give him a chance to fix it, to right the ship. We've seen plenty of longtime kickers have bad seasons. Mason Crosby's had like four or five bad years in a 20-year plus career. Like, you know, he'll right the ship eventually.
Yeah, without question on that. So that's a couple of the cuts candidates for the Bengals to go over. There could be some more, but none of them are, you know, like Cordell Volson. We mentioned that. That's not to me a cut candidate because you're not saving any money in doing that. I mean, I know you're saving minuscule amounts of money, but it's not worth us really even discussing at this point in this.
Yeah.
It was also finalized that the Bengals are going to pick 17th in the draft. The last five 17th picks, Dallas Turner, Christian Gonzalez, Zion Johnson, Alex Leatherwood, CeeDee Lamb.
So three out of those five were good.
Yes. And one is Alex Leatherwood.
Well, that was just a god-awful John Gruden pick right there.
The last 17th pick for the Cincinnati Bengals was?
I thought it was Amarius Mims, but I guess he was picked 18th.
He was 18th.
Oh, no. I got to figure this one out. Pollock? David Pollock?
You are correct that he's the 17th pick, but incorrect. Gosh, yeah. He was the most recent one.
Oh, Leon Hall.
Good night from the Bahamas. Keith, I am jealous. Enjoy the Bahamas, man. Houday for sure from the Bahamas. No, Leon Hall is not right.
Oh, man.
I got to like make my.
Oh, not Dre.
Dre Kirkpatrick.
Dre Kirkpatrick. Okay.
Dre Kirkpatrick. Some other 17th picks for the Bengals. Brian Simmons. Pretty good name. And then Jason Buck, who is a defensive end pick from BYU. Yep. Kevin's got it right there saying.
Was Dre the Raiders pick? Was he the Raiders pick the Bengals secured? He had to have been.
Or was Kevin Zeitler? Yes. Yeah, he would have been. Yeah. Some other notable 17th overall picks in NFL history. Eric Armstead. Jonathan Allen, Dexter Lawrence, and I have to make sure I mention this. Do you know who the 17th pick in the year 2000 was?
Chad?
Sebastian Janikowski.
Oh, Chad Pennington was 18th, I think.
Sebastian Janikowski. So maybe the Bengals are going to take a kicker in the first round. 25 years later, right?
What good kickers do we have out? Who's the number one kicker on NFL?
You know who I think it is? I think it's Alex Rainer from Kentucky.
Let's see. Oh,
I think he is Now, Alex Rainer is not good enough to take in the first round, but I think he very well could be in the conversation for being one of the top kickers potentially in the draft coming up late April in Green Bay will be the draft this year. Did you even find anything or have you even listed?
It is not. Alex Rainer's not even listed.
Really? He was listed in Mel Kiper's.
I've got a Ryan Fitzgerald from Florida State.
Ah, he sucks. He's awful. What does he know? He's no Alex Rainer.
Hey, wait, is that Evan McPherson's brother in the draft this year? Alex McPherson? Is that his brother?
I don't think he's I don't. Yes, that is his brother, but I don't think he's draft eligible yet. I thought his brother was a sophomore.
He's on the list. No, he's on the list. Auburn kicker Alex McPherson.
I didn't think he was draft eligible yet. I thought he still had another year before he would be.
I'm going to make sure I'm not in the wrong year here. No, yeah, 2025.
Interesting. Alex McPherson, let's see here. Yeah, no, you're right. He is draft eligible if he wants to enter the draft. He would have to enter the draft, though. The Bengals could have a absolute, they could do the funniest thing. They draft
Alex that's McPherson. My bold prediction.
They draft Alex McPherson?
That's my bold prediction. Alex, not that he's drafted, but he's on the practice squad next year. He's at training camp next year with Evan.
Wow. That would be awkward.
Well, it's not intense. It's not really a battle per se. It's just your brother's here.
Interesting.
It'd be cute. It's like a Hallmark movie.
Is that what they say?
Yeah.
NFL playoffs this week. Do we want to make some picks on going through these games and doing this?
Let's do it.
It starts off with how it, of course it has to. And literally, I joke about this. My bold prediction was better, Lisa says, than yours. Alex McPherson will be on the practice squad next year. It starts off how it has to, as the Texans play at 4:30 on Saturday, which they have every single time they've ever made the playoffs. They've played at 4:30 on Saturday.
Is that true?
That is a fact. Every single time they've made the playoffs, they play the first game on Saturday. They will host the Chargers. To me, I think the Chargers win that.
I'm going with the Chargers.
Yeah, I think the Chargers win that. Steelers at the Ravens. I think the Ravens will win by 20.
Oh, yeah. Let's just do like a little bracket off, you and me. We'll just air the results every week here.
Okay. Well, I'm taking the Ravens.
Okay. I'm taking the Ravens as well.
Broncos and Bills. Bills.
I think that's going to be a close game. I'm going with the Bills, but I think that's going to be a lot closer of a game than people think.
Packers-Eagles. This, to me, is the toughest one to pick.
Eagles.
Because you don't know Jalen Hurts. You don't know Jalen Hurts, but I think I agree in picking the Eagles since it's there. Commanders and Bucks. I'm taking the Bucks.
Bucks.
I just think that the Commanders, I'm a little questionable on the rookie quarterback in his first playoff game.
Also, Baker Mayfield in the wild card round is a wild man.
He is. That is, there's no question on that. And then the Vikings at the Rams. This is a tough one.
I'm going Vikings.
I'm going to go Rams to pull off the upset. I think that the and then we have one that's different then that we're not all the same. I'll just take the Rams. Rams are playing pretty well. It's in LA.
Let's keep going here.
Oh gosh.
It'd be Chargers Chiefs. Chargers Chiefs.
Yeah, Chiefs.
I'm going Chargers.
Oh. Really?
Yes.
Really? Okay, so I think Bills, Ravens, that's
Ravens. We're getting a Harbaugh Bowl AFC championship game.
I'm going to say Ravens too.
So you're going, Ravens, Chiefs.
Why bet against the dark money? The dark magic.
You're going with the Chiefs?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go Ravens. All right, NFC, you would have the Rams and the Lions. Rematch of the wild card round last year.
Lions.
I would go Lions in that too, but mine would be Lions and
Vikings.
Vikings, which I'll also go Lions.
Okay. So we both have Bucks, Eagles. Eagles.
Eagles. Yeah.
So we have Lions, Eagles, both of us. I guess I'm picking the Lions to go to the Super Bowl.
I'm going Eagles. I think Jared Goff's going to have some real problems with that defense.
So you have an Eagles Baltimore.
Yes, we have a Bird Super Bowl.
Interesting.
And we'll go with the Eagles because I don't want to see the Ravens win it.
And I'm going to pick the Chiefs just because Joe Burrow's not in it, so nobody can beat him.
Oh, you want to just keep that? You want to keep that alive?
No, I'm not. I don't want to keep that alive. I just.
Yeah, you want to keep it. You want to keep the Joe Burrow mystique alive.
That he's the only one that can kill the giant.
Him and Brady
are the only two that can slay the giant. But also, they seemingly always seem to do it. And until they don't, it's hard for me.
I want to see a Super Bowl matchup I have not seen. I mean, I guess Chiefs and Lions would be a Super Bowl matchup I haven't seen. But I'm just tired of freaking seeing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Do I want this to happen? No, not at all.
Who's the broadcast crew this year? Is it Collinsworth? And it's been 3 years.
I'm pretty sure it's Brady. Pick. I'm pretty sure it's Fox.
Is it really?
I'm pretty sure that is Super Bowl. What are we even on? Super Bowl 2025.
59.
Channel. Let's see. It is Fox. Yep.
Really?
It is going to be Fox this year, so you'll have Brady calling the Super Bowl because you have to think that NBC switches it up, how they do it. They'll pass on it sometimes so they can have it during the Winter Olympics because they like to just own TV coverage for an entire month when it comes to the Winter Olympics, which is...
See, I always thought it was just on a rotation. Next year. That makes sense. Okay.
No, but because ESPN's going to be added into it, I think they might... NBC might be next year, and then ESPN might be in 27.
Really? Okay.
Will be it. Because I think they usually like to, or NBC likes to try and get it when they have the Winter Olympics, which explains why they had it. They had it
2021. Yeah. Well, with us. Yeah.
Yeah. And two. Yeah. 20. Yeah. The 2021 season in the year 2022.
Olympics. Yeah.
All righty. Well, we've, I think, gone long enough. I think next week, we begin the process of diving deeper into a season recap. Maybe we talk offense next week.
Mm-hmm.
Start positive, then we'll talk defense. I think we'll talk do a show about T. Higgins because I think that maybe it's not the longest show in the world, but I think there's plenty for us to discuss when it comes to the ins and outs of that decision, what the Bengals could look like with him, what the Bengals could look like without him, what that contract could look like. Should they do it? I think there's a lot of different angles that we can take with that. And then, I mean, heck, like I said, we're 2 months away from free agency opening, so we got plenty of free agency shows. The draft is coming up really quick. We're going to dive all the way into the draft. We get to drop in our day three darlings, like we mentioned last night, my guy Dylan Lauby, who's killing it for your Madden team, right? Or
he
Matt
ran
Lee.
The ball one time.
Matt Lee was a guy we named. I dropped Orion Rico last year, so maybe we can see if we can't nail some more picks coming up come April. But yeah, I think we hit everything we needed to, didn't we?
I think we did.
Any parting thoughts or anything you're really looking forward to for NFL playoffs?
Just looking forward to watching two full days of football this weekend. It's going to be a good time. We get Monday night. I always kind of forget Monday night, like because you just go to work that day, but. Also, you got other playoff action. College football playoff is starting. It's back again tomorrow. Notre Dame and Penn State and Ohio State and Texas. So you've just got.
Who are your picks?
Oh, for those two?
Yeah.
You know what? We'll root for. I like Riley Leonard a lot. I think I just really like the way he plays the quarterback position. So I'll go with Notre Dame and Ohio State. The championship.
I agree completely.
And that would be a fun championship, I think.
I want Texas to do it. And it's a home game for Texas for the most part because it's in Dallas. but I still think that it'll be Ohio State that'll win the game.
Here's my problem. I've been betting against Sark for the past 2 weeks, and it has not worked out for me. Almost worked out last time, but I totally thought Dabo was going to upset him in the first round. That was
Definitely
the closest game out of those four games, though.
We'll definitely let you know, Lisa, if we can. I'll be up for a Reds game at some point this year, and Mick goes to Reds games post April the 15th quite often. I know. You're pretty much down post April 15th or 16th or 18th or whatever the deadline is. You're pretty much down to go to a Reds game almost any day. I know that, but just not the first 2 or 3 weeks of the Tito era.
I might need to just start looking at some season tickets at some point just to have them, you know. But
yeah, get Diamond Club season tickets. There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to put all my money on Alex McPherson being drafted by the Bengals at some point in this draft.
And then you'll be able to afford diamond seats.
Yeah.
Can I bet on Bengals Lions in Germany? I'm sure I could bet that somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I think you got to be pretty tight with the sports book, or just do it on one of the illegal ones. Just do it on like Bovada or something.
There we go. I'll figure it out. Have a good night. Have a good week. Remember to follow us on our social media channels. Subscribe to us. Follow and give us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcasting platform. You can go back and listen to the show that way as well. Mick, have a good night, and hooday.
Hooday. Thanks for watching.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstars startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.